So we'll go through some lessons that he has learned through his years of ministry and praying, and some of the Paul's prayers and the lessons that we can glean out of Scripture from seeing how Paul prays through Scripture. The notes are the same notes from last week. The note sheet was for last week, this week, and next week. If you don't have any, there's some up here still. So as we begin to study prayer, let us begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your throne. We come humbly, yet boldly, as we know that we can, because we have one mediator. We have one mediator in the man, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, that we might come before you. Father, we thank you for his shed blood, for his righteous and life that he has imputed to us, his righteousness, that he stepped into our place as our substitutionary atonement, as a sacrifice for us. Father, it is on that basis that we can come before you, and we do so now, asking that you would instruct to our hearts the truths of your word, that we would be able to understand better what it is to be in communication with you, to pray as you would have us pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this morning, as we look at some of Pauline's prayers, before we start that, I kind of wanted to go over a little bit of what we went over last week, kind of talk about where, kind of pick up where we ended. So last week, we started off by defining prayer, what prayer is, what prayer is not. We said that prayer is communicating with God. So as we communicate, as we talk with God, communication is a two-way street, right? I mean, if we have a one-way communication, that's not too much of communicating going on. So if prayer is us talking to God, how does God talk to us? His Word. So we really need to have, in a full communication with God, and being the computer guy, in a full duplex communication with God, that requires God talking to us and us talking to God. So God talks to us through His Word, and we talk to God through prayer. So we really need both aspects to communicate with God. And as we ended last week, we talked really throughout the entire lesson. But we ended with saying we really need to direct our prayer to God, not in what we want, but in His will. Lord, if it be your will, please X, Y, Z. Lord, if it would further your kingdom, please fill in the blank. And that really needs to be the focus of what we pray. As we sang this morning, I threw this in here real quick. This is one of the choruses from one of the songs that we sang this morning. And I want to ask, as we sing, do we really focus on what we are singing, or are we just reading the words on the slide that's up there in front of us? And is this really what we mean? When we pray, when we sing, let your will be done in me. As long I long for nothing else, as long as you are glorified. Do we really honestly mean that? Because that is how our prayer should focus. As long as you are glorified, whatever it is, let that be done in me. God, if you are glorified by me losing my job, then please, Lord, let me lose my job. Is that truly how we pray? It should be. And I know I'm not standing up here by any means as one who has perfected that. I am still learning this lesson. Lord, as long as you are glorified. And it doesn't get any harder than when you're standing beside the hospital bed of a child, saying, Lord, if it be your will, please heal them. But if it is not, strengthen me through the trial. Please take them home. Nothing harder than that I've experienced. And then having to live through that and still be able to say, Lord, as long as you are glorified. And as we see, as we'll see today, Paul really does know how to pray that. So today, the resource that we're going to be going through is D.A. Carson's Praying with Paul. I believe that's the cover from the first edition. He has a second edition out now. As he looks and studies through the prayers that Paul prays through Scripture. So before we do that, I want to go through some of the lessons that D.A. Carson himself gives from his years of ministry, from his years of praying and studying and whatnot. So let's go through this. Much praying is not done because we do not plan to pray. If we don't plan on carving out time to pray, then a lot of times, not a lot of prayer is done. How many of you can just make sure that we read, you know, whatever reading plan it is you're going through, the McShane reading plan or D.A. Carson's or one chapter or 10 chapters, whatever it is. How many of you accomplish that reading plan if you don't specifically say, I'm going to read at whatever time of day it is, whether it's when you wake up, whether it's over lunch break or before you go to bed, whatever it is. If you don't specifically set aside saying that is my target time to pray or to read, how many of you actually get your Bible reading done? We have to plan for it to get done. Same it is with prayer. We have to plan. We can't just go, I'll just go through my day, and at some point in time today, I'll pray. We can't do that. Because what happens? We're human. We get busy. One thing leads to the next. You got to get up. You got to get ready for work. Then you got to go to work. You got to take care of the kids. You got to feed the kids. Take the kids to school. Pick them up from school. Take them to hockey. Take them to baseball. Got, you know, after school activities, you got to come home, make dinner, get the kids ready for bed, that way they're ready for the next day, and boom, you're in bed, you're asleep. Does that sound pretty familiar? I mean, that's about how my days tend to go. I know it's about how my wife's days tend to go. So if we don't plan our time to pray, I'm going to spend 5 minutes with God in prayer, 10 minutes with God, half hour God, whatever it is. And I'm going to do it first thing in the morning. Right before I read his word. I'm going to do it last thing right before I go to whatever time it is that works for you. I know for me, reading and praying works best in the morning, right when I get up before I really start getting ready for work. For Tim, he's a night owl. It works best for him to do it right before he goes to sleep. So it doesn't really matter what time, but we need to make a plan to pray. Because if not, our schedule's going to get away from us. I have experienced it. I have lived it. It will happen. It will just get away from us. So do we actually plan and schedule into our day that time to pray? Second, adopt practical ways to impede mental drift. What do I mean by mental drift? This is what I talked about last week. When you sit down and you say you're praying, God, thank you for this day. What a wonderful, beautiful day it is. The weather, the sunshine is just so great. Oh, man, I've got to get the four-wheelers ready because spring's coming. I'll be able to get on the four-wheeler soon. I need to order those brakes. And oh, wait. And God, please keep me safe on the drive. Oh, man, I need to fix the truck and I need to change the tires over because of spring, you know, the day's coming soon. I got to get the studs off. How many of you done that? I've done it, you know. So we need to adopt practical ways to stop that mental drift. Okay? Here's some of them that D.A. Carson came up with. Here's some ways that we can do this. One, vocalize your prayer. Pray out loud. If you are praying out loud, that tends to cut off because now you're vocalizing, you're speaking, you're also hearing yourself speak. You're starting to take up more of the brain cycles that could possibly be spent doing other things. And so you're spending those brain cycles on prayer versus on letting them drift to other items. So that's one way of doing it. Just pray out loud. The one thing to be cautious on that. If you're alone, you know, there's really no danger of this, but if you're not alone and you're in, you know, earshot of somebody else, be careful not to start trying to be puffed up in your prayer, to sound good before other people. This is what Jesus condemned. You know, praying before other men. So be aware that that is a sinful tendency that we have, and just be aware of it. But praying out loud is one way that we can do that. Pray through the Scriptures is another. As you're reading the Bible, pray through the Scripture. Psalms is a great place to do this. Turn a psalm into a prayer. And that's essentially what they were, a lot of them anyway, were prayers put to music. So it's very simple to turn some of those to prayer, and we're really going to learn about that next week as we walk through Matthew Henry's book. Because that's basically all his book is turning Scripture into prayer. Another one is keep a prayer list or a journal. Okay, keep a prayer list or a journal. If you have a list to pray through that you write down, it helps it, doesn't it? As we're at Bible studies and we ask for prayer requests, a lot of us writing down what the prayer requests are, because I don't know about you, but even within that 5 minutes, I'm sitting there going, oh, what was John's prayer request again? That's right. Okay. So keep a prayer list in a journal. When somebody asks you to pray for them, I know I'm guilty of this and I'm trying to work on it, write down what they've asked you to pray for, because the very next day, guess what? You're not going to remember what they asked you to pray for. So that way you can keep a list. And as you're praying, then you can go through that list. I pray for John. He's asked for prayer in this aspect. I pray for Bob. He's asked for prayer on this aspect. Matt's asked for prayer here. And we can pray through it. And if somebody hasn't approached you for prayer requests, guess what? Grab the church directory. You may not know what their needs are. God does. Just start praying for families in the church directory. Praying that the husbands will be a godly father, that their devotion time with their family would be a good, sweet devotion time in the Word and prayer, that they would lead their families. Pray that the wives would be those workers that are in the home raising the children. There's many things that you can pray for without knowing specifics of what the need is. Okay. Various periods of your life, develop a prayer partner relationship. Grab somebody that can help you pray, that you can pray with. Caution on this one. Unless your prayer partner is your spouse, pick someone of the same gender. You should not pick a prayer partner cross-gender unless that person is your spouse. Because prayer is a very intimate thing. And when you garner intimacy in one area, it is very easy to have that intimacy spread to other areas of your life. So unless your prayer partner is your spouse, it should be the same gender. Women praying with women, men praying with men. It makes it a whole lot simpler to avoid temptations if you do that. Okay. And one of the keys here, learn. You're going to have people who haven't prayed for very long. They've been a Christian for a month, a year, whatever, who haven't had a long time praying. Then you're going to have Christians like John, who's been a Christian longer than I've been alive. Wes. I mean, you're going to have people who have experience in prayer. Learn from them. Learn how they pray. Learn different, do they use Acts or Cats or Matthew Henry or what different prayer models they use. Yes. Don't use you as an example. See how they pray. And you know what? It may not necessarily be somebody who's been a Christian for, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. Somebody who's been a Christian for 10 years may have more experience in prayer than somebody who's been a Christian for 50. Because each of our walks are different. But find somebody that you can pray with. Find somebody that you could possibly look up to in prayer. Yes?
Side note on that, I know he's talking about Paul's prayers, but just going back to Jesus, one of the few good moments in the disciples, they actually asked Jesus
right.
how to pray, because they had seen models from the Pharisees, they've seen models from the rabbis.
And John the Baptist.
It would be naturally, okay, Lord, this is something we need to learn as a disciple, as a Christian, a very important area in our life, teach us how to do this. And the Lord taught them.
Right. You're right. And one of the things, Legan Duncan, who did a series on prayer that I really appreciated, and we'll hear a small snippet from it next week. As he works through the Lord's Prayer in Luke, not the one in Matthew, but the one in Luke, it's right on the heels of the disciples said, asked Jesus, says, John taught his disciples to pray. Please teach us to pray. And we don't do it here in this church, but in some churches, they recite the Lord's Prayer on a weekly, monthly, whatever basis. One thing Lee Duncan points out is the Lord's Prayer is not a pray this, but it's a model of how to pray. Here's subjects you should cover. Not use this verbatim and you're done. Pray these exact words and you're finished. But more of, our Father who art in heaven, acknowledge God who is in heaven. He is your Father in heaven. Spend some time acknowledging God in your prayers. In some of the models, you have acts or cats or, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, and they rearrange them into different words. That's the adoration part. Acknowledge God who is in heaven. That he is indeed your Father. Why is he your Father? He's your Father based on the atoning work of Jesus Christ. And you can thank him for that atoning work of Jesus Christ. So it's not a verbatim prayer, but a model of prayer. And here, models, choose them well. And here you can read this as choose models as, like I just said, acts or cats or, whatever. But it's also the person. Model somebody who has spent time in prayer, who is a faithful prayer warrior, not somebody who can barely put two words together in a prayer. That's not the person you want to model. So you want to pick somebody who is more experienced, sanctified in their prayer life than you are. Okay. Also, on the flip side of that, be willing to be that model. Let me ask, John, I'll put you on the spot. You've been a Christian for a long time. You've had time to pray. Do you feel that your prayer life is in such a way that somebody should be able to come and model you? No. But I guarantee you I can learn from that man. So be willing to have somebody model you. You're never, I guarantee you, this side of heaven, you will never have it figured out 100%. You will always feel lacking. You will always feel that there is somebody better out there than you are. And guess what? You're right. But there are people who can learn from you. Be willing to let those who are asking for your help, be willing to help them. Be willing to come alongside. In discipleship, it's kind of always been said, we should always be someone to be discipled by and also seeking someone to disciple. Because there are people who are more sanctified than we are. There are people who are less sanctified than we are. There's always that, you can seek help and give help. So choose your model well, but also be willing to be a model. When somebody comes up to you and says, can I pray with you? Can we spend some time together in prayer? Be willing to be that person that they come and learn from. And be willing to go and learn from someone. All right. Develop a system for your prayer lists. Sometimes it can be difficult to keep them straight. Some items of prayer, I'm going to pray for it once and then, that's it because it's something that's happening tomorrow kind of a thing. There's some things that you're going to be praying for years. There's some things that you pray for until the prayer is answered. There's different things that we've got in our prayer list. So try to figure out a system, whatever it is, of keeping your prayer list straight. Whether it's a notebook. I haven't seen them, but I've heard of pastors who have journals. They journal their prayers, and they've got volumes and volumes and volumes on their shelves going back, 10, 15, 20, 30 years of prayers where they can actually go down and pull out, and they can see their prayer that they wrote down 30 years ago. That's one way. I'm not saying it's the only way. There's software out there that can help you organize your prayers. here's a prayer request, and you know the end date is here. You know, VBS, an example. We got VBS coming up in June. We can be praying for VBS 2016 until the end of VBS 2016. I know they exist because I've done some research in them. I don't remember what they are. None of them really kind of fit what I was looking for, so I didn't download them and use them. But they are out there for both Android and Apple. So I do know that they do exist. Logos has a built-in, you know, prayer thing with theirs. Unfortunately, and I don't know why, they didn't translate that over to their Logos app. Because it's a pretty good one to keep your prayers organized. But you have to be sitting in front of your computer. You can't have it on your phone. So that's one of my major complaints, that they didn't put, you know, have it sync up to the phone, because that would be awesome if they did. Because it's a pretty good organizer. So, no, unfortunately, I know they're there. I can't give specifics. Chris?
I know prayer notes is one.
Prayer notes? Okay.
I think one version's free, and then the full version's like $3. So.
Okay, that's Apple, right? Or do you know if they have it on Android?
Yeah, I guess.
Because you're an iPhone guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so prayer notes, and they might have it. A lot of apps are, you know, cross-platform, so they may have it on Android too. With the Logos one, there is. I don't know, you know, prayer notes, I'm not sure. I'll have to take a look at that one. but anyway, develop a system, you know, whatever that system is. You know, just find something that works for you. You know, if you're old school and you like pen and paper, use pen and paper. You know, and if you're a ones and zeros guy like me, find an app. Okay, mingle praise, confession, intercession. But when you intercede, try to time to Scripture. So you don't want to spend a half an hour in praise and then walk away. You know, kind of do a full orbed, you know, prayer. So spend some time in intercession. Spend some time in adoration. Spend some time in thanksgiving. And we'll see this as you look through Scripture. You know, through Jesus' prayer in John 17, through Paul's prayers in his epistles, you see all aspects of prayer together. But as I said, try to tie as many of them as possible to Scripture. So that way you avoid the vending machine mentality that we talked about last week. You know, God, I want a better job, A7. You know, but if you can tie your intercession to prayer, you know, you're praying for a loved one who's not saved. God, I pray for Susie who does not believe in you. You have commanded that all men believe in you. You have also promised and said that blessed are the feet of those who proclaim the good news. Please, Lord, bring somebody into her life to proclaim the gospel to her. Please take out her heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh, that she would understand what you did, what your son did on the cross. So try to tie your prayer requests to Scripture. Can you find something in Scripture that, you know, would, I guess, I don't know, back up or justify your request? Are you in a job that makes $10 an hour and it's not enough to pay, you know, for housing for your family? Tie that to Scripture. God, you have, as a father and as a husband, you have told me that I am to be the provider of my family. And Lord, this job that I have right now is not providing for my family. Please help me to find a job that pays enough so I can do what you have told me to do. See there, it's not wrong to pray for a better job. It's not wrong to pray for that higher paying job. But what's the focus? God, please provide me a better paying job so I can do what you have told me that it is my responsibility before you to do. Or is it, God, I want a better paying job because I want that new fishing boat. I want that Jaguar or Mercedes, or I want that, you know, Ducati motorcycle or whatever it is. Where's the focus? Same prayer request, better job, but what's the focus? One is focused on Scripture and fulfilling our requirements and the commands that God has given us, and one is focused on me, me, me. It's an entirely different focus of the prayer. And as Dan talked about this morning, you know, where's that humbleness of the last shall be first? You know, are we seeking our own glory? Or are we seeking to obey Christ? And where's the focus of that? If you are in any form of spiritual leadership, work at your prayers. If you're a Bible study leader, pastor, father leading the family at prayer at home. If you are in any form of spiritual leadership, okay, let me ask. Men, raise your hands. You're in a form of spiritual leadership, okay? If you're in any form of spiritual leadership, work at your prayers. When you pray before with your family, work at them. Some people choose to write their prayers out. Is that wrong? Absolutely not. And in some ways, you're actually praying twice, because you're praying as you're writing it down and you're praying as you're reading it. But work at it. Focus on becoming better at your prayer, especially when you're praying in front of people in public. As you're leading that Bible study, as you're praying to, you know, to open a Sunday morning service, whatever it is, whatever form of spiritual leadership that God has placed you in, whether it's a head of a denomination or simply the head of a family, work at your prayer life. Work at your public prayer life. And here again, we need to be careful of that warning of, you know, don't pray to sound all theological. You know, don't try to find those, you know, $2 million words that are 50 letters long that even, you know, John MacArthur can't pronounce and work them into your prayer. Because that's turning the focus on us. You know, how look how good I am. Look how many theological terms I know. But rather, focus on not elevating yourself. Focus on elevating God, especially elevating God to those who are listening to you pray. Can you carry them along with you before the throne? Now, as a flip side of that, when somebody is praying in public, when Dan is leading us in prayer up here, or Greg, or Bob's leading us in prayer at Bible study, or John's leading his family in prayer, whatever it is, when you're praying, if you're the one listening, are you praying along with that person, or is your mind doing that mental drift thing? As Dan's closing down the service, or as I pray at the end of the service today, is your mind on that pot roast that's in the oven? Are we focusing on praying with the person who's praying in public? We don't have to necessarily be, you know, trying to pray with them, but go with them before the throne in their prayer. As they're praying, it's not wrong for you to pray also. But are we joining them, or are we doing that mental drift thing? So we need to make sure that as those who are praying, in, you know, before other people, we need to work at our prayers, but we also, as the listener, need to be working at listening to that prayer and following along with them and praying with them and joining with them and going before the Lord our Maker. Yeah.
What Christ said in Matthew 6, 7, and 8, chapter 6, he says, when you pray, do not keep up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. This is repetitive, another way to do that. Trying to sound good, trying to embellish what you're saying here, and really is a hypocritical show more than it is.
Right, right, absolutely. And then pray until you pray. This is kind of a Puritan exhortation. Keep praying until you actually pray. Is sometimes as those who are, you know, less experienced or as we're learning to pray, sometimes this is a very good exhortation. Pray until you pray. You know, at the 5 minute mark, you may have run through everything that you've got. But does that really encompass everything that we have going on in our lives? The people that we know that need to know the Lord. The ways that we are commanded to follow God that we need help in. You know, we may get to that 5 minute mark and kind of go brain dead of, well, I've prayed through everything. I guarantee you, you haven't. I know I haven't. Because I need a whole lot more help from my Lord than 5 minutes will take. So pray until you pray. Keep at it. Keep working at it. I've heard seminary students, when there is a class on prayer, and Dan, you may be able to speak to this directly, especially at the master's seminary where you're supposed to pray. I think one class, it's a class on prayer, but you're supposed to pray for like 45 minutes or an hour a day. And the students will, I've heard students say that, you know, they begin the class and at the end of 5 minutes, they're going, got another 55 minutes to go. But by the end of the class, they're hitting the hour mark and they're barely begun. Because they've learned through that experience to pray, to come before God. So that's the pray until you pray. Keep working at it. Don't just hit that 5 minute mark and give up. Keep working at it. All right, so lessons from Paul's prayers. To do this, I mean, there's many, many times that Paul's, I mean, we could go through Jesus' prayers, the Lord's Prayer, his prayer in John 17. There's all kinds of Paul's prayers through his epistles, and we don't have time to dissect them all, so we're just going to pick one. So turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. We're going to go through 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. And specifically, we're going to mainly focus on the end of that section. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 12 says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then here begins, you know, his portion of prayer. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of everyone you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all of your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering, since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his might, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you is believed. To this end we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power. So then in the name of our Lord Jesus you may be glorified, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we see in that prayer, the first thing I want to point out is, what do we not see in Paul's prayer? What do we not see in Paul's prayer? How many of us have gone to a Bible study and every prayer request made at the Bible study, you don't see Paul praying for that? I'm not trying to say those things are wrong. Okay, I'm not at all trying to say it is wrong to pray for Johnny's, you know, cold, or for, you know, Dan's safe trip down to Shepherd's Conference and back, that the plane not have too much turbulence. I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for those things, but notice the lack of those things in Paul's prayers. And this is just one. I cherry picked a prayer of Paul that didn't have them, and the rest of them do. But that's a standard Pauline prayer. We don't see those types of earthly concerns in Paul's prayers. We see heavenly concerns in Paul's prayers. And there again, is it wrong to pray for Johnny's cold or for Dan not to, you know, to have a safe trip? Can we tie, I'm going to pick on you for a second, Dan. Can we tie praying for Dan to have a safe trip to the Shepherd's Conference and back, can we tie that to Scripture? We can't? Sure. Why not? Lord, you have called Dan to do a work for you in Alaska. He is leading our church as a spiritual leader, expositing the Word of God. Lord, please bless his ministry. Please take him to the Shepherd's Conference safely. Encourage him, refresh him while he is there. Grant him a sense of ministry and a zeal for you, and bring him back that he can give that zeal and pass that zeal along to us. Do we not just pray for his safety there and back? And do we just not tie that to Scripture? Yeah, you can tie safe travels to Scripture. Why not? So, again, I'm trying to make very clear, I am not at all saying that praying for safe trip, good weather, illness, I'm not saying that praying for those things are wrong. Okay, so please do not misunderstand me. Those are not wrong prayers. But to the extent possible, let's tie them back to Scripture. Let's tie them back to God's Word and the promises He has given to us in His Word, asking God to fulfill His promise in and through us via whatever it is. Safe trip, you know, good weather, so that way we can proclaim the gospel more effectively instead of hiding inside of a building in rain. You know, let's tie our requests back to Scripture. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all. Because you're right, God does know Dan is our pastor. But there's also nothing wrong with saying, you know, God, our pastor Dan, he's going down to the Shepherd's Conference, please bless him. There's nothing wrong with that either. Okay, so the first thing Paul is praying for, he is praying that God would make these believers in Thessalonica worthy of their calling. Okay, so let's break that down. What's that mean? Make them worthy of their calling. Sanctify them. To be worthy of their calling, Lord, please work in them and in their lives, grow them into the image of Christ. Sanctify them in your truth. Help, make them the believers that you want them to be. There's a lot packed into make them worthy of their calling. I mean, Paul already knows. I mean, he's written this book to believers. He already knows they're elect. He already knows they're regenerated. He already knows that they have been called. It is impossible for us to, quote unquote, be worthy of that calling. You know, we can't do anything to become worthy of this calling. So that is not what Paul is asking for. He is asking that they live their lives worthy of the calling they have already received. Not that they would be worthy to be called, but because they are called, that they would then be worthy. So Paul's asking that they be worthy of their calling. Paul's also praying that God, by his might, would bring to fruition what he has promised, their good faith. He is asking that God would complete the work in them. You're going back to praying for health, wealth, and whatnot. Let me backtrack a little bit. D.A. Carson says this, when you're talking about, health, wealth, prosperity type stuff, such a prayer is tantamount to asking that God will so work in their lives to make them worthy that ultimately we will count them as worthy. So that's really what Paul is talking about in this prayer. When he says, make them worthy of their calling, that's what D.A. Carson says. Such a prayer is tantamount to asking that God will so work in their lives, work in their sanctification, bringing about the glorification that they are promised, so as to make them worthy, that ultimately he will count them as worthy. So Paul is asking that God work in their lives to make the Thessalonians worthy of the calling they have already received. So let me ask a question. When we see each other out in the marketplace, here at church, we'll ask, Bob, how you doing? What's your response? Fine, good, family's healthy, whatnot. When was the last time we each asked each other, really, how are you doing? How is your spiritual walk? What were you blessed with this week in your prayer life? What were you blessed with this week as you were reading God's word? Do we ask each other that? We should. All too often we don't. And there again, I'm not standing up here as one who's got this down pat. I am as guilty of it as anybody. But do we dig into that? When was the last time that, Bible study, Sunday morning, that we've asked somebody, how can I be praying for you? We're learning about prayer and lifting each other up before God. John, how can I be praying for you? Matt, how can I be praying for you? And then following up with that, actually praying for them. Here's one trick that I've tried to put into practice. I fail more times than not, but I'm trying better. John comes up to me and says, hey, could you please pray for X, whatever it is? And instead of saying, yeah, I'll remember to pray for that, stop. Pray. Right there. I don't care if you're in the aisle of the grocery store. You bump into somebody. Hey, could you please be praying for this? Yes, let's stop. Let's pray right now. Right next to the cold cereal. Let's pray. And actually pray for them. Yes, try to remember to pray for them after you've left. Add it down to, whatever, prayer notes or whatever it is that how you journal prayer requests. Add that down. But just go ahead and stop. Take a minute or 5 minutes or whatever it is and pray for them right then and there. But how often do we go to each other saying, I need prayer in this area of my life? Especially when we say, I need prayer for my temper. I lose it more than I should. I need prayer because I'm struggling at looking at stuff on the internet that I should not be looking at. I need prayer because, my kids just really get under my skin. I mean, not just the jobs and the car running, and those are good things, but eternally, do they matter? How often do we ask for prayer for things that matter eternally, that really will help us in our spiritual walk? And then how often do we ask people, what can I pray for you for? How is your prayer life? How is your reading of God's word? How can I pray for you as you're a father, a husband, a wife, a mother, that you would do what God has commanded you to do more faithfully and effectively? What areas are you struggling in that I can lift you up? And here again, I go back to my earlier warning of cross-gender. Would it be improper for me to ask Nancy what she needs prayer for? No. Would it be improper for me to constantly go to her, seeking her out one-on-one type of a thing? Would that be improper? Yeah, that would be more of what Christy would do. And Christy can share with me what prayer needs are there. If it's not a gossip type thing, but Nancy needs prayer for this. But that would be more of what Christy would do, not me. So the one-off kind of thing, like Nancy has told me before, hey, Steve's thinking about, this or whatnot, could you please pray for him? Sure. It's not wrong at all. But to seek that one-on-one type of a thing would be. But seek each other out. Ask, what can I pray for in your life? Here's what you can pray for in my life. And there again, you're going to hopefully find somebody that will become more of a partner in doing that than others. And you will eventually grow closer to each other as you work through praying, and you'll have that kind of that go-to person. When you have a spinoff of, man, I just lost it. Could you please, pray for me? Or I'm facing this temptation right now. Could you please pray for me? And especially in the days of technology, these things are great for that. Text messaging, Facebook Messenger, Google Hangout, whatever your flavor of pain is, use it. Text that prayer partner. Greg, I'm struggling with this. Please pray for me right now. I know Greg does. Greg and I text back and forth all the time. A lot of times I'll get texts from him on the way down to Shepherd's Conference. Glenn, pray for Jason. Just met him at the airport and witnessed to him. Great opportunities, great tools that we have at our disposal to assist us in our prayer life. And man, we are flat out of time. Okay, in his prayer, Paul is seeking the glorification of Jesus Christ. He's not seeking his glorification. He's not seeking, the honor and the exalting of himself or the Thessalonians. But he's seeking God being glorified. But he is also seeking the glorification of believers in the aspect of their spiritual glorification, that they would be more like God, that they would be glorified, not because of, seeing how they're lifted up, they're winning the Oscar or the Emmy or whatever it is. But lifting them up that they would be glorified in God, as Bob said many times over, John Piper's mantra, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. So for us to glorify God, for us to be glorified in and through God, we need to be satisfied in Him. We need to be satisfied in Him alone. So those are some of the things that Paul is praying for. And Paul remembers that prayer is answered through God's grace alone. It is only through God's grace that prayer is answered. Ultimately, everything we have is through God's grace. Because if we didn't have God's grace, what would we have? We'd have hell. We'd be facing His wrath. Everything is through His grace. And so we need to acknowledge that. God, it is through Your grace that we receive this. It is through Your grace that, I pray for Jason as Greg witnessed to him. Lord, enlighten what Greg has just told him to his heart. Convict him through Your grace. And acknowledge that it all comes back to God. And it's all for His glory. It's all things that we don't deserve. We need to circle back to, as we studied last year, Solo Deo Gloria. It's all for His glory. It's not us. It's not us looking good. It's not us trying to be spiritual. But it's our humble dependence and need upon Him and His grace. And that His promises would be fulfilled, because He's promised that He will fulfill His promises. And we can rest assured in that, because God doesn't lie. He never changes. And so we go back to Him through His grace to fulfill His promises. God has called His elect. So, Lord, we ask that Jason be one of Your elect and that he be convicted and he turn and repent. Because You have promised forgiveness to those who call upon You. So, Lord, we ask that he call upon You. And so we turn the request back to God and back to Him and His glory through His grace, recognizing that we can't fulfill the prayer request. And we can be the means that God uses sometimes. But we can't be the ultimate fulfiller. All right, we are flat out of time, and sorry for buzzing through those last ones quickly. Is there any questions? Comments? Does it say my meeting's at 6 o'clock in the morning? Any concerns? All right, next week we'll continue in prayer. We'll be going through Matthew Henry's study in prayer. And a lot of next week is not going to be talking or really discussing, but practicing. As we read through, along with Matthew Henry, I've kind of picked out sections of his book to read through. So next week is going to be a lot of practicing of what we've been discussing. So let's end in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly God, we do thank you that we can come before you, that we, through your atoning work, can come before your throne. And that we can do so knowing that you have given promises in your word, that you will fulfill those promises. Lord, that it is through you that we have answer to prayer, that is by your grace and your grace alone. And it is from you that we receive every good and perfect gift. Father, we thank you for those. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that atones for our sins. We ask, Father, that you would help us as we struggle through our lives to pray, as we struggle communication with you, that we would be faithful in our prayer life, that we would be faithful in our reading of your word, and Father, that we would learn more and more every single day to come before your throne with our requests, with our worries, anxieties, that we would lay them at your feet. And Father, that we would trust and rely on you. And Father, that most of all, we would seek you and your glory in the furtherance of your kingdom through everything that we do and everything that we say. In Jesus' name, amen.